Second hour, Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex showed here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe Rex showed here with Paul Karski in for Robbie. Nick Kieser producing. Robbie and Rex are proudly sponsored by Chuck McDowell Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We want some interaction on the text line and phone line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025, talking Titans and talking philosophy. This is an idea that PK had, and I think it's a very good idea. If anybody knows the Titans' philosophical shifts or lack thereof, it would be you. So, PK, in your mind, are the Titans turning over a new leaf like never before?
Yeah, I think so. And it's twofold, really. It's with Brian Callahan and his philosophy. He's not dismissing the running game, but he's talking about it second, not first. Jeff Fisher once famously in the moment was asked by Pete Prisco of CBS Sports. At the time, he might have been with the Jacksonville paper. You know, what do you do if Eddie George is getting stopped? What do you do when the run game isn't working? And he said, you run it harder.
Nice. All right? I'm sure you love that.
So that was 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Munchak was an offensive line coach who was run the ball centric. Wisenhunt is just like erase him from the thing. He came in and gave everybody hope.
Because that's the thing. The conversation was probably similar, right, when he came in?
But he completely disregarded protection, really, and left Will Svitek one-on-one with J.J. Watt,
right,
which made everything moot. And he didn't have the receivers to do what he just wanted to throw the ball deep. He didn't have the quarterback to do it. He didn't have the protection to do it, so he talked the talk, but he didn't walk the walk. Then you got back to Malarkey, and Malarkey was exotic smash mouth. And then Vrabel, obviously, talked about being multiple. And I think Vrabel is not as dedicated to the kind of football that we saw him play here. But he played to his strength, which was Derrick Henry. I think when we see him somewhere else, and I still think we will see him somewhere else, and it's sounding like he very much came in second to Harbaugh with the Chargers. But, you know, if he had Justin Herbert, I think he would emphasize Justin Herbert. But so philosophically, Brian Callahan coming in and saying the team that passes the best wins the most is a big change. But also the idea that the general manager, and there have been some nice guy general manager. Look, Floyd was a nice guy, but Floyd, when it came down to it, was, could be a hard ass, and he was the decision maker. And when he wasn't the decision maker with Jeff, things went sour.
Went the wrong way.
Right? And then you had Reinfeldt, who didn't work out and quickly kind of handed things off to Rustin Webster, who was a much nicer guy but made a couple good decisions, particularly in drafting Lawan ahead of schedule, but, was kind of a softer guy in the background. But there's all Robinson got the job and was good at the beginning and then got the ego and power hungry, and people were afraid of him, and people were afraid of Vrabel. And I think Amy now is very conscious of not having anybody in a position of power that people are afraid of in any way, shape, or form in the building.
Who was afraid of John Robinson?
Oh God, who wasn't afraid of John Robinson?
So you're talking more on that side of things, the personnel side of things, or the whole building?
Well, I can name names here, like Gil Beverly, who was in charge of communications and all that, was scared to death of John Robinson when John Robinson got hot. And he didn't understand the idea that, like, John Robinson wasn't different than a lot of football executives that, like, he could get really upset about something. And what you do with the GM, like Floyd did also, get really upset about something. And the key to dealing with that is to leave him alone for 3 days and watch him calm down. And Gil Beverly didn't get that at all. Gil Beverly would go into a panic. Oh, my God, John's upset about X. I got to fix X immediately.
I must say, I did not know this would turn into shots at Gil Beverly today, PK. That's it. I mean, hey, that's interesting. So there's one person.
Well, I mean, that led – I've talked about this before. That led directly – John was upset with me over something I wrote. I was in negotiations with the other radio station in town at the time. John was upset with me, told Gil he had to do something with me.
This malarkey? This is the malarkey retro?
Yes.
Retrospective?
Yep. I wrote something about malarkey and malarkey's side of the firing.
Down. Yeah.
John was upset about that. If you just left John alone for a week, John would have moved on to other stuff. John's a busy man who has a job. Leave it alone for a week, it's fine. Gil goes directly to my boss in the middle of negotiations. The whole tenor of my negotiations change because Gil is in an absolute panic because he's scared. But beyond that, everybody was scared of John Robinson. PR was scared of John Robinson. Coaches were scared of John Robinson. Everybody was scared of John Robinson.
I guess I just, it's...
When John Robinson had turned into that guy.
Yeah.
Now, at the beginning, he's, smooth talker, patting everybody on the back, making friends. He got out of control with his ego, as did Mike.
Okay. Because Vrabel is a much easier – Vrabel is automatically intimidating in any room, right?
Yes. I mean, also, I think, smoother at handling people. You know, he could turn on knew how to charm people. And John did, too. I think John's went away quicker than Mike's. John was around longer than Mike.
The bottom line is when you start performing at a much lower clip, I mean, that just – like anybody, it's going to strain you, right? I mean, that's going to strain everyone. I mean, that's what happened. Basically, they had an incredible draft, which was Vrabel's second. Robinson's and Vrabel's second together. An all-time great draft, really.
Yeah.
And then just, huge downturn in performance. And, I know we've had this whole COVID conversation about it, and you're absolutely right. If other teams can do it, then you don't have any – other teams had good drafts. You don't have any excuse. But
Chris
Ballard,
who's not particularly good, did just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
During the COVID.
But I do think that was part of the story. They did not handle that. Well, and
so
obviously
to continue,
the medical stuff is wild.
So to continue with that, I think Rand Carthon, maybe to a fault in the other direction, is not ever going to be like that. And Brian Callahan.
To me, you want a balance. To me, you want a balance,
yeah.
Right?
Brian Callahan is going to be a people person, and losing is not going to change him out of being a people person. I mean, he'll get hot when it's required to get hot. He kind of talked about that during his press conference. There was a line of questioning that TD asked him about, when he lit up the Bengals when they had a particularly bad game and they bounced back and played great. I think it was the Jacksonville game with Browning where they bounced back and played well. I'm not saying he doesn't have that in him, but I don't think there's going to come a time where Brian Callahan walking down the hallway – you don't want to look him in the eye.
Like Saban in Miami.
Person.
Don't address Coach Saban unless he addresses you first.
And I certainly don't think it's going to be that way with Rand. So I think that's a philosophical shift as well. That Amy,
a friendlier building,
and Burke Nihil and all of the people who helped make this decision said, we don't ever want to get to a point where down the road these people become like John did and like Mike did, where there's this feeling, unlike what Callahan said, where it's not fun to come to work no matter what.
Yeah. Sounds great, but again.
Right. In practice, it's a difficult thing to execute, but that's their goal here. And I don't think when they hired John and Mike, they were thinking, like, long term, when things go bad, what are these guys going to be like and how is it going to – I think they're thinking that way now because of their experience. So I think philosophically, change on Callahan in terms of modernizing the offense. I know you don't really like that expression, but I do think it's true. And in the building in terms of relationship and the collaboration and stuff that people think is kind of catchphrasy, but I do think there's some guts to that.
I do have a thought on the offense. And also, it also still brings me back to 23 months ago, so we'll get into that. Robbie and Rex are 1025, 1063 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Wednesday night for Vanderbilt men's basketball. Commodores take on Auburn on the road. Tip-off, 8 p.m. Pregame starts at 7:30. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round.
I love the song Easy Lover, but it is in heavy rotation on this show.
Yeah, I don't think Nick's actually played this one too much. I mean, I think there was one other time when you were in here when he did, but yeah, it's a great tune.
I stand Phil by
Collins,
my
Philip
that
Bailey,
it's in heavy rotation.
Too often? Okay. Nick, do you
Nick
have a response
doesn't know
to
what
this?
He plays.
Yeah, I know what I play. This is one of my favorite songs of all time.
It's a great song.
You're an old soul.
I just think
you're
it's
an
in heavy
soul.
Rotation.
Well, PK may be listening to the music more often and paying more
attention than you
to it than I do, but I definitely
that's a bad sign when I'm paying more attention to the bump music than the producer.
Right, that is bad that you're listening to the music and not the conversation.
Ooh,
but I
oh,
would
okay,
say that
I
do the same songs mostly because it's a theme with the show. You know
that we're easy lovers in here.
Sure,
that's
if
the
you
want to
classify
show?
Yourself as that.
Anyway, I like the choice, and you know, keep playing more. You need to play more Rush. That'd be my only quibble.
I won't take you higher,
as much
Joe.
Rush as possible.
Less
yeah.
Rush.
Yes, nice.
I mean, people don't want to wake up hearing that nasally, whiny voice.
I mean, you're the all-time bad
worst
music
voice
take.
In rock and roll.
All-time bad music take is that you said Bush is better than Rush. All-time bad. That is atrocious. All right, Titans. Philosophically speaking. First of all, I'll just argue every time, okay? It's fine. This will just be a pet peeve that can just last years, and then we'll see what happens with Vrabel, wherever he goes on this stuff. I just find it funny that his intro presser, I should just go back and get the transcript up, but like half the questions were about Mariota, quarterback development, all that stuff. They were bringing it up. They're bringing in the McVay offense. And up, they got the hotshot OC. Like, so much of the conversation was about that. And also, so much of his first season until late in the first season. I mean, Deion Lewis, pass catching back, that's really who you want to feature. And then you've got Derrick Henry as a guy, and you kind of have
well,
to
Derrick
figure
Henry
out.
Well, Derrick Henry wasn't very good at that stage.
Sure. But I'm just saying, Derrick Henry dictated what Mike Vrabel football was, not the other way around.
Oh, I agree.
But people don't want to think
of
it that way.
But Mike Vrabel did say in that press conference, we're not going to be silly about running into 8 and 9 men boxes. And then what did they do against Houston in his fourth to last game? They ran Derrick Henry 16 times into 8 and 9 man boxes because their best chance to win was for Derrick Henry to pop a run on a day that he ran for 16 times for 9 yards.
Oh, you're talking about this last – okay, I thought you were talking about
his
first season.
Yeah, so I'm tracing his introductory press conference and what he said they would not do into what they did do in his fourth to last game, which is exactly what he said they wouldn't do.
Sure, but also that was a sign of the times, which is total futility with an offense, right? But I'm just saying – yeah, you know, I feel like whether you have a defensive coach, you know, offensive coach, like everybody wants to, you know, have the latest and greatest of, well, I mean, both sides, but especially offensively, right?
Sure.
And that was still the promise and the conversation and really a lot of the execution early under Vrabel, and then things went the way they did.
But I think, and now this is hindsighting it, of course, but Vrabel, in hindsight, was not equipped to do those things. And he didn't have a player who was equipped to do those things. Now, for 2.5 years, he had a player that they could shape things around to have the best offense that they had in some time. But their passing offense has not rated top 10 in this franchise since 2005. 2005.
So you're passing off as like average per game, just straight up, just pass, yeah.
Or total yardage.
Yeah, total yards per game, 2005. So that was,
I think that was Billy Volek.
That was Volek, okay. They were transitioning away from McNair. Yeah. Yeah, look, to me, you want the absolute, all the things that Brian Callahan promises, great. Right? I mean, you want the cutting edge passing game and quarterback development and all these things. And, you know, you also, to me, want balance and, you know, you need defense and it's just not all about one thing.
Well, here's the other thing. And I wrote this yesterday and I retweeted the piece lately. And you brought this up, opened my eyes up to it. There's always enough scheme. There's always enough plays, right? So this has me believing, and again, it's an opening day press conference, and you say things that don't necessarily always come to fruition. That makes it sound like I'm not going to run Derrick Henry or anybody 16 times for 9 yards and bang my head against the wall thinking my best chance is that my guy's going to break a run. I'm going to have a plan B and a plan C. Whereas Mike Vrabel said, our best chance was that Derrick Henry was going to pop a run if we kept running it, which I thought we all agreed was a ridiculous thing to do in that game. I don't know. Maybe you were on the other side of that.
No.
I was screaming, try something else. I was screaming, Derrick Henry should be benched in this game and Tajay Spears should at least be getting the carries. Because this is not working.
Yeah. Well, and I think, look, starting next year, it's going to be Spears and probably someone else. And so, you know, no longer are we going to be talking about your best player being a – well, I don't think we will, right? But what they need is more of their best players to be receivers. And also they need, of course, blocking. I mean, They could have tried something different. They did last year try different things. Spears had his moments, but I mean they were just so limited. You know that's.
But even their alternative to the bad blocking seemed insufficient in terms of quick game, short game, stuff like that. That they just kind of threw their hands up at a certain point and said, "We stink, and there's no alternative to this." And to hear Callahan talk about it, sounds like there are always plays, there are always scheme. There's always scheme, there's always plays. That sounds like a guy who's going to constantly look for alternatives to what's happening to them, which I don't think they did last year enough. I didn't see enough attempts to solve the problem.
Another Paul.
Right, and we'll go particularly to who? To the receiver you were waiting on, Kyle Phillips, who we've all seen at practice light people up, short yardage receiver. And even when he was in games, he had a couple games with 6 catches for 60 yards or whatever. He wasn't used in the way that we saw him so successfully dominate people in practice.
I agree. Well, I agree. And also, you think back to when he was healthy – in the previous offense, Adam Humphries was exactly that guy. It was like 3rd and 4. Okay,
convert.
There you go.
You convert it 4.5.
And then you worry about other people, but that's what he does for you. No, I agree. I mean, they didn't – I'm not saying that they did – they didn't do well enough with what they had. They
and to
didn't
be
have
clear,
a lot, but they didn't do enough.
And to be clear, I'm not guaranteeing you that Callahan does this stuff. I'm just talking about what he's said about the
promise, the
approach.
The conversation. So Paul on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com says, Joe, you're slipping. PK just said, people don't want to wake up hearing that nasal voice. And then I had no comeback about your voice. You're very right, Paul. Very right. He said, also still mad about no Stilly versus Pauly. Actually, we do have Stilly versus Pauly today at 8. So you will get Stilly versus Pauly.
Somebody- hey, please, I have not been listening to Stilly. So I don't know the foolish things he said outside of Dan Campbell should be fired. So please tweet me the things that I should be crushing Stilly over.
Yeah, tweet or text. You know, the any sort of issues that we may have with his commentary, so he can be prepared.
His quote unquote commentary.
I still didn't get to my question about 23 months ago. We'll get to that with the Titans talking philosophical shifts at St. Thomas Sports Park. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 94.9. The Fan, Thursday, Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores will be at home taking on Ole Miss. Tip-off 6:30, pregame starts at 6:15. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Talking Titans philosophy. So let's go back to – actually, we do have a question from Austin, the text on it, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com PK, who says, honest, quick question for both of you. Do you think Amy Adams, Strunk, is a frugal owner? So – deal with that, and then I'll get to my question that revolves around her.
No, I don't think she's especially frugal. I think the Titans have a reputation for being cheap in a way that they are not. They're not off the hook in terms of spending like some teams are that are foolish about spending money. They just had – I mean, if you want to talk about their expenditures – I mean, they had a foolish expenditure with Ryan Tannehill, who had the highest cap number in the league last year. So you're going to call them cheap while they overpaid their quarterback?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, look, I do think that people, because there is truth to the salary cap being overrated as we prepare for our friend Stilly to come on at 8. Right, and there is leeway in terms of some owners more willing to kick the can more than others, and to me, the important thing about cap space is if you have it, then we all know you don't need to do anything to make these acquisitions and to spend the money, right? So, you know, if you have the cap space and you can just make the deals, then you need to go ahead and do that. I mean, the NHL, totally different situation. I know for a long time with the Preds, it was like, when are they going to spend to the cap, right? It was like, you have to spend to the cap to be competitive, which took a while for that to – well, you can go beyond it in the NFL, as we know, right?
Okay, but so here's the answer to the question kind of. Robert Hunt is a good guard with the Miami Dolphins. Could be the kind of guy that the Titans really want, okay? And you say, given our cap situation, we're able to overpay to ensure that Robert Hunt gets here. Overpay to what degree is the question. And I think the Titans are a team that will draw a line. To get Robert Hunt here, we would pay him 8 or 10% over what we think he's worth. But are we going to go to all ends to get Robert Hunt, reset the guard market, pay him better than the guy in Indianapolis who's the best guard in the league? No, they're probably not going to do that.
But now you're just talking about individual smart decisions or not, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I think, when people think they're cheap. Well, you have all this cap money. Yeah. You should just blow the doors off the best guard in the market to get him here no matter what. Well, I don't think they'll behave that way. Yeah. I think, does that make them frugal or does that make them sensible?
Well, sure, but that's one decision, and I would agree. Now, sometimes maybe you think someone is worth that, but you know you're overpaying it for agency. First of all, you go if you're going
to
do a lot.
But to
for
what
agency,
degree?
Sure, sure. But to me, I'm more interested in the entirety of it, which is at the end. I'd like to see a lot of that used, you know, because you have so many needs. Sometimes, like Ballard, you know, went through some seasons and they left that cap space. They had a lot. He had done a good job of building that roster at a certain point, right? I mean, Chris Ballard was just, you know, the toast of the town, maybe a little bit overrated. But this team has such severe needs that, to me, there's no justification for not whatever, however you divvy it up, how many other different players we're talking about, there's no justification for not turning over the roster pretty significantly, pretty dramatically, and utilizing most of that cap space in the process.
Absolutely. But some fans are going to look at them if, say, they don't get a wide receiver and say, look how cheap they're being. And I'm going to say, well, there are three wide receivers worth having at the top. Higgins, who might not even hit the market. Calvin Ridley, who's got some personal issues and who's the kind of guy that you think a lot of people around the league think, from what I've heard, when he gets big money, he might be dangerous, like the kind of guy that turns into something different. And Pittman, who is a quintessential Titans receiver, who if they gave big money to would come here and be just another Titans receiver who's a big guy, physical, and can't run down
possession,
the field faster
you know,
than
good
anybody.
Possession receiver. But
so if they don't spend big money on a wide receiver, I'll be okay with it because those are the three best options. And so what they failed to do, again, is draft the wide receiver to develop and turn into your guy, which goes back to don't trade A.J. Brown and don't mis-evaluate Treylon Burks.
Right. Yeah, no, sure. I mean, if it's just like spend, you know, there's a lot of ways you can make mistakes and make yourself worse in the long run by doing
so
that.
So offensive line, you can help yourself. Go help yourself on the offensive line. Receiver, you probably can't. So don't force it or get yourself a mid-level guy who could be your three while you wait to get a good receiver in the first or second round. You know, cornerback, there's some help to be had there. You got to be, efficient.
Yeah, and it's you know, the money is one thing, cheapness, whatever you want to call it, being too frugal or being too spend happy, but it's about choices.
But look,
it's about evaluations.
And the Titans' reputation for being frugal was this. Once upon a time, Bud would spend money on players. But if you had, a FedEx thing that was over $50, he wanted to know exactly what that was. That was Bud's cheapness, his reputation for cheapness. I don't think it's like that anymore in-house.
Okay, that's interesting. So, Mike, the ownership question I had going back was, you talk about the fear of Vrabel and Robinson in the building and how, again, it's some of this is like it's always is whoever leaves, then it's time to just open season on trashing that person. But if it was that bad, then I have to go back to these extensions and everything from less than 2 years ago, right? And I understand ultimately it's about do you believe you're going to win in football or not? That's what it's about. But how much of the discussion, you know, like when Robinson was fired, I think it's obvious now with Vrabel that some of this was interpersonal relationships and it was communication and things like that, which is bad, right? And Vrabel has to take some responsibility. But like when John Robinson was fired in season, is that part of the story?
I think it's somewhat circular. Let me put on the record too. I loved both of these guys. I really liked working with both of these guys. In part because people feared them, right? I stood toe-to-toe with Robinson and Vrabel and had good relationships with them and enjoyed sparring with
back
them
and forth.
In a situation where a lot of other people are complete Southern genteel people bristle at that and run from it, right? So it was good for me. These guys kind of – I have shared mentality with them, and I like them both a great deal personally. I haven't seen John. I've talked to John a little bit. I've talked to Mike, and I think I'll have a relationship with Mike, you know, going forward. But I think what your question you're asking is very circular. She gives them the contract because she likes what they're doing, but the contract empowers them to continue on the ego track where they spin further out of control in the direction that's unhealthy.
Well, you said continue. So do you look at those extensions as, I mean, just like we talk about players, now all of a sudden got the big payday and not working out as hard on the outside. Do you think there was a negative effect on them?
To a degree, in hindsight, probably, yeah. Hmm. Not in a... Like, look, you get for a player, you know, C.O. Brocato, the great, great scout, told me early on, a scouting bromide that I've maintained forever. Money makes you more of what you are as a player. So if you're a great guy and you get big money, you're going to be a greater guy. And if you're a guy who takes plays off and you get big money, you're going to take more plays off, et cetera. And so both Vrabel and Robinson, I think, and this isn't so much about the money. It's more about the power that the money gives you. But if you're super confident in what you can do and you're empowered by a several-year extension that the owner is giving you more, maybe not power, but more time, more of an endorsement, and you feel empowered by that, you're going to act more empowered.
Makes sense. Adam in Portland on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. You got an Amy Adams sock. Quickly, Adam, how's it going?
Good, man. Hey, so this is why I disagree a little bit. And I may just be pulling stuff out of thin air a little bit with this, but Miss Amy, when she fired
Call her Vrabel, Amy. Call her Amy.
Why can't I call her Miss? That's a respect thing. That's the people up north, man. They don't respect the same way we do down here.
I respect her, and I call her by her name. She's not my mom.
Okay. Don't call him Stilly. He ain't even from up north. Don't call him Stilly. All right, so this is it, man. So when Amy was firing Vrabel, she did mention the money. And so that leads me to believe that she's going to spend money. And you don't usually hear owners do that. They don't go, we have this much cap space. And so she was like, hey, we got this much money. We got this draft capital, this position. And so I think the combo's already put in there. She's ready to turn the handle, man. And I hope so. Like, I'm happy with everything Amy's done in, like, the last 2 months. And I think she's hired right. And I think it's going to be a lot of this is going to be on Rand Carthon.
All right. Thank you, Adam. And that is a fair point. She did say cap space. So if you say cap space, and I know that a lot of it was like
She was selling the job.
Yes, selling exactly the situation. But still, okay. Well, you just said it.
Of course a lot of it's on Rand Carthon. She just gave him power over the roster.
Right. When we come back, it's time for the Rex Rant. And we're going to keep along these same lines with that. 102.5, 106.3. The game, very nervous.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
He's kind of ugly, though. Frames! Oh, I missed some frames already.
Oh,
You know what I need to do? When we had the Zoom days, you know, on the Zoom days, I used to troll you especially, but I was getting the comments and make fun of people. And at one point, Vrabel
was in there.
Well, at one point, he went in there. He just said, "Joe is a clown." I got to get that and put that on my Twitter account. The Vrabel, you know, comment. Yeah, Joe is a clown. Yeah. So
what are you doing with your hands? That was. I mean, it was.
I was
so
like
bad.
This. He cut me off, and I'm like, dude, don't cut me off. Well, I don't even remember what were we talking about that day.
I texted him after that.
Well, he texted me after that.
Killed him.
What, you killed him?
I killed him.
Well, good for you. Well, let's talk. We are going to kind of go along those lines. But before we get into it, I do want to point us out to a couple texts on the text line. And I have to agree, too. This is going to be a very pro-PK rant. Will from Nashville says, by the way, I'm from South Georgia. Parents, too. I'm about as Southern as one could possibly get. The Miss Amy thing drives me crazy, too. Look, were I her nephew or maybe the guy who takes care of custodial duties at her house or, frankly, even the head coach of the Titans who works for her, I might call her that. Random fans and media? No. Amy, not Miss Amy, bizarre. Totally, totally with you. Miss Amy is bizarre. Like, and again, that's what they call. So John Robinson called her that. Mike Vrabel called her that. And people in the building, if that's what she wants, she owns a freaking team, okay? So if that's her preference and you work for her, well, then you have to do it. Nobody else
has. Callahan has asked her, like, is that what you prefer? Or
I would assume he would ask her.
Can I call you Amy?
I'd like to know the origin of that. Like, C from Franklin says, I'm with Paul also. Calling her Miss Amy is odd. It's like she's a totalitarian leader. We must not disparage her by referring to her as anything else. Kim Jong Amy. So, yeah. I don't understand it either, unless it's her preference. So if that's the case, let's get that out there then. But yeah, if I'm Brian Callahan, I'm finding out, right?
Yes.
What should I call you? They obviously all thought it was important to call her Miss Amy, but none of us should do that.
No.
Unless she's paying you, you should not do that. Now, of course, we're getting low on time because I've done a side rant on that. But this is here's my defense of you, PK, and I thought of it. Because you were just talking about your relationships with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. And we've talked about it before, but again, I think especially if you, and I don't want to disparage different types of media or whatever, especially if you're a writer, it is very important for you to talk to people and talk to people away from the press conference stuff. If you're covering a beat, if you're covering anything, you have to do that, right? You have to. You cannot just rely on everything that's just spoon-fed to you or, like, what good are you, right? So my point being, I've heard some disparaging of you elsewhere in town that bothered me a little bit.
Where?
Because elsewhere. But it bothered me a little bit because
they didn't name my name, I'll tell you that.
The idea being – so you and Rand Carthon have had your thing. I mean, you kind of yelled at him in his press conference. That's between you guys. But I will say this. I think people misunderstand, and this is what I've how I've heard it said, that Paul, you know, or whatever, I guess. I don't remember if you were named or not. But
no, I definitely was not named.
Getting scoops from John Robinson. Let me ask you this. Did John Robinson ever give anyone a scoop that you know of? Maybe he gave you a scoop. I don't know. But in general, John Robinson out giving scoops when he was GM?
No. I got maybe one or two small things.
But the point, right, so the point is, and like for me, I just appreciated that if I had a question, okay, why'd you do this, why'd you do that, John Robinson would be responsive and be like, okay, here, let's talk it out. Not for writing, not for public consumption, but just for understanding if you're trying to cover a team. That's the point. The point is not John Robinson giving me scoops, yay. No, John Robinson did not play the game with Schefter and those guys either. No. He did not play that game.
Also, there's a degree of confirmation. I know this, am I correct?
Sure, sure. But that's not the same thing. This
no,
idea
not at all.
That John Robinson is, you know, you're in this relationship where you're getting, no. I mean, first of all, and then we can do another side rant about people complaining about the fact that the NFL and really every league is now set up for news breaking to be done by these national people that the agents are like, I got to give it to Schefter. Got to give it to Rappaport. I mean, people who don't seem to understand how local coverage of teams has now been overtaken largely by that, that just aren't paying attention. I don't know how you can't understand that. But the idea that that this is about scoops, it's not. It's about just conversation. It's just about understanding a team. It's about understanding what the thinking is. And that is something that, to me, any general manager or coach, in my opinion, of a team that people care about should engage in with media who cover the team.
Yeah. A lot of texts I send start with help me understand. Help me understand.
Right.
And the other That's thing I'll say there is That's if you're talking about job. Me, stone up and say my name. Trust me. When I'm talking about you, I say your name. So stone up and say my name. Whether your boss prohibits you from saying it or whatever. It just be a man. This is a man we're talking about. But he's a boy, actually.
Yeah, I you know, that's fine. I guess I opened the door for PK to get there. You know, yeah, you can do whatever you want, man. It was my rant, but you took over the rant. That's fine. We got a lot of support for, yeah, so someone says, calling people Miss, Mr., first name's a Southern cultural thing. It's respectful. Don't kill Southern culture, as you don't want Southerners disparaging
you. Well,
yours.
You don't do it with everybody. You're picking out the rich owner of the team to call Miss.
So that's Jeremy in Clarksville. But we just heard Jeremy from someone who's straight up from Georgia and their heritage is in Georgia who thinks it's weird. I understand the respectful thing. I do.
Should we call him Mr. Callahan?
Exactly. No. I mean,
Mr. Rand?
Right. No. You
call. So what's the line?
So
if you're a certain level of rich, I have to call you Miss?
Again, if you work for the super rich person who wants to be called Miss Amy, then you do it. Other than that, there's no need to do it. This kind of goes into also coach, right? So I don't ridiculous. Call people I cover coach. This is my rule is this. My coaches, who if I talk to old coach, I call him coach. And the coaches of my kids, I call coach. Anybody who coaches my kids, I refer to them as coach because that's right. That's how they need to refer to them. Other than that, people go by their names.
Yes.
Right? Okay, we're all in agreement. Okay.
And listen, I was inconsistent. Like I talked about Mike there by first name. I'll go back and forth. My thing with Stilly is I think he's almost always first name, and he's talking about them in a first name in a way that's intended to trick you into thinking that he's like – cool with them and on a first name basis and like hangs with them or talks to them in a way that he does not.
Wow. Well, there's quite a transition.
Now, Peter Laviolette, he should talk about that way because he's like on a get their autograph basis with Peter Laviolette.
Well, there
so
we go.
So he should call Peter Pete.
What about Lavi?
Mr.
Lavi?
Miss Lavi.
Can we combine Canadian and like Southern culture, Mr. Lavi? Well, that's a great transition. We'll have Jared Stillman next. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.